Welcome to The Inside Show. I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And today we're going to cover access violations, very common error that
it
occurs.
It is. Around 50% of all crashes are access violations. Mm-hmm. Error code C000005.
Six zeros in the middle there.
Six zeros in the middle.
Six zeros in the middle. Yes. Tell us what causes an access violation. This is not something like a security thing, like I don't have permissions to something like that.
Yeah, not to be confused with access denied, which is, as you said, more like I don't have permission to do something.
Yeah.
Access violation is a memory-centric issue, normally triggered by the CPU. The CPU detects this violation and throws it as an exception to the application. 99.99% of the time, you just read some memory that didn't exist.
Right.
Classic examples being you allocated some memory, you freed some memory, and then you try to access it after that. It's like use after free, we call it. Common one is, you know, you get a function that that fails. Normally it return you an object, some type of pointer, and then you go and use this null pointer and trip up on that.
So essentially it's just a program tried to read some memory that either it didn't have access to, or the memory was not allocated at all, or didn't exist, or something.
Came and went, and then boom, crash, bam.
Right.
There is three different variations of this: read, write, and execute. Mm-hmm. Read obviously means you try to read from the memory. Mm-hmm. Write means normally you are trying to go from a register back out to some memory, so the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And those two are very data-centric.
Yeah.
And then the third is execute, is when instead of actually being about the assembler operation and the data it's operating on, it's actually about the assembler operation itself. And it's when the assembler instruction is on a page that is not marked for execute. And so, for example, you could inject some code into a process, but unless you change that block of memory to say, I'm allowed to execute from it, if, you know, say, for example, the virus or whatever, try to jump to that, it would fail with an execute access violation.
So an access violation on an execute instruction could potentially be some kind of malware thing gone wrong, or it could potentially just be some code bug where, you know, we've jumped off to some location in memory and tried to run code there that is an incorrect place.
Yeah, the two executes tend to fall into two categories, or, you know, the most prevalent versions of those is that you had a variable that got overrun and you literally just trashed the stack, and so your ability to work out where you are, and then you trip over yourself and go off into the weeds. Mm-hmm. And the other major one is you want to run code that's perfectly valid, but the DLL was unloaded prior to that. Yeah. And so sometimes you might go deep into a stack and you'll be sitting there on a wait, but another thread behind the scenes has unloaded the DLL that you came from. Mm. So as you come back from that wait and try to go back into this DLL that now doesn't exist, you hit memory that before when you went forward was valid, but coming backwards, and that's usually a DLL reference counting issue.
So these kinds of issues, if I'm just a user and I'm seeing access violations, is there much that I can do about this if some app is crashing with an access violation?
It's kind of a luck thing. Mm. It all comes down to how you tripped over. I mean, there's a couple of variations as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. You can try things like using tracing. For example, you could use sysinternals process monitor. A lot of these things happen because you try to do something and it unexpectedly failed, and then it returned a null pointer, right?
So
and
it's still an application bug, but maybe it's triggered by some sort of unexpected behavior.
Yeah,
it's not handling an error condition very well.
Yeah, so like process monitor might show you a file not existing on disk that it just assumes is going to exist, and same thing with a registry key and stuff like that.
Right.
And you might be going, you know, it works on my machine over here. I can see the successful file or the successful registry key. It doesn't work on this one. And as a mitigation, you might want to, say, clone that information across. Mm-hmm. Past that, really you're into the world of the developer and you need to do a code fix.
So you could try to mitigate it. But the bottom line is these are code bugs. The developer of the application really needs to look at them.
Yeah. So from a developer point of view and a debugging point of view, you would collect a dump file. You can use various ways of doing that, proc dump and Windows error reporting and stuff like that. Bring up the dump file, and then the command to look at is the exception record. So we bring this up and it says, in this case, you know, here's the access violation code, and it nicely says this on the front for you. Mm-hmm. And in all these examples, you just want to kind of know what type of mistake it was. And so EXR minus one shows you the record, access violation. And there's two values. The first value is whether it's read, write, or execute.
Is that the first
value? It is the first value.
Oh, that is the first
value. And then zero is read, one is write, two used to be execute years and years ago, and you'll see this on Itanium, but these days it's eight. So it's zero, one, and eight. And then the second value is the mistake, right? So if this one tried to read from address eight, and if we jump to the assembler, you'll see that it's trying to, so assembler's kind of read right to left. I read from this side and write to the left. I tried to read from this, RCX was zero, plus eight, so it was trying to look at an offset into the object, hence why the address that it tried to read from was eight. All addresses between zero and 64K are blocked, and it's for this reason. Most 99.999% of objects won't be greater than 64K, and so you've had null pointer plus the offset will put you into the 64K range, and then you'll trip over immediately rather than making a mistake.
So this is the what we would call a null pointer access violation, where we're expecting there to be a pointer to an object, but it's actually pointing to zero.
Yeah. Look in this opposite case, this is a write, so instead of having a zero, we now have a one for a write. And if we look at the code, at this one it says write into address zero. I actually have this example as a source code. You can see that I am trying to write EAX, which was zero, which is this part of the thing, into, it happens to dereference itself, RAX. So it's trying to dereference zero. I am trying to write zero into an invalid address. That's why it's a write. When it comes to an execute, we have an eight, and then we'll have the instruction pointer. Now, if this doesn't start with 7FF, odds are it's completely trashed memory and you don't really have anybody to blame. In this case, it's a 7FF blah, our module addresses, and we've tried to execute from a completely valid module, which is why up here it says unloaded and then the name of the module. And so what happened in this guy's case, and you can see it's unloaded, we went into something, we're coming back, and then as we came back down the stack, it blew up.
That
and
DLL so there's a has been unloaded some
somehow
before.
Yeah. And so this is a DLL reference count issue. So read is zero, write is one, execute is eight, and then the secondary piece of information, the address, can kind of give you a hint of, was it a null pointer mistake? Was it just a pointer pointing to somewhere? Or, and then in the execute world, was it a known module, which was really easy to work out, or whether it was just purely trashed?
And if you have the dump file, you can load it in the debugger, although if you're not the developer of that app, you may not get very far not having the source code.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's access violations. Thanks for watching.